The Modern Grandparenting Podcast.
One word to describe my grandparents, I would say fun.
I'd say inspirational.
They know heaps and they're very wise.
I don't know what we'd do without them.
Being your grandmother can be quite tricky.
I'd say fantastic.
Grandparents are like your parents, except they don't get you in trouble.
A psychologist, a teacher, and a journalist walk into a podcast studio.
Hello again and welcome back to the Modern Grandparenting Podcast. I'm Lynn Worsley, a clinical psychologist and Nana Lynn to my six grandchildren.
And I'm Jackie O'Connor, G-Jack, Grandma Jack to my two beautiful grandchildren and a retiring primary school educator with 35 years of experience in the classroom. This time in Modern Grandparenting, we are talking about blended families, step-grandparenting, and how we might navigate the minefield that can face many extended families in the 21st century.
So again, we'll frame this whole topic with why, what, and how. So Jackie, why are we covering the topic of blended families and step-grandparenting, and why are they presenting some big challenges for today's grandparents?
You know, as time goes on, more and more families with dependent children are either step or blended families, about 10% currently of the population in Australia. So a huge number of grandparents are dealing with this added complication of having to navigate how to interact with their step-grandchildren, in-laws that they are no longer related to, and it's really a tricky space to be thinking about grandparenting.
It really is. There's so many changes in the circumstances, and it's caused by divorce or even the death of a parent. That can mean that grandparents have either a greater, increased or a reduced involvement with their grandchildren. And the research suggests that most step-grandchildren consider the step-grandparent relationship important and are eager for more contact with step-grandparents and to maintain this relationship as they get older.
This is a tricky topic, and when we started thinking about this, I thought that actually I don't have much experience in this area, but then I realised it was quite bizarre, really, that actually I had a step-parent from the age of 10. My mother remarried when I was 10, and then my children all had a step-grandfather. And I think the reason I didn't think about it was because my step-grandfather was so disengaged from what my kids were doing. You know, he comes from a much older generation. He was born in 1919. And when he married my mum, he was really not interested. You know, we had a relationship with him, but it was not a big deal, I don't think, for him to think of himself as our parent. And then that translated when we had kids into not really being engaged with the grandkids. Part of it, I think, is a lot of people from the last generation. You know, he came out of the Depression, he came out of the war. He had some pretty tricky stuff in his life that made his building relationships very difficult for him.
You also had probably the grief of losing your dad as well, which might have made some
I don't think
of
that
difference.
Really played into it, Lynn, because that happened when I was little. Yeah. But it was really more about what he was prepared to give, and it wasn't that much. And also, too, I think it was unusual, you know, when I was a child to have a step-grandparent because people didn't get divorced. So mainly it was just if you were unlucky enough to lose a partner that a step-parent would come into play. Yep. But interestingly enough, today, the way society has developed, there are connections upon connections between families. And often people find they're in a situation where they have a relationship with a child that's got no biological connection with them at all. And it's really worth, I think, talking about how they're going to navigate it and why it's important to be building relationships with grandchildren that are not necessarily biologically related to you.
So second, after the why we're covering is what, you know, what does it mean to be a grandparent in a blended family?
Well, while grandparenting in a blended family often requires navigating tricky family dynamics, it's still about building relationships with each grandchild. It's about spending time and developing that relationship. And it's so important to make the grandchildren feel valued, to connect with them and to offer yourself as a significant adult they can talk to.
Yeah. There's also loyalty issues that might have arisen with step-grandchildren or ex-son and daughter-in-laws, particularly if there's been divorce and separation. So how can grandparents support the co-parenting relationship between their adult children and their ex-partners?
Well, I think it's really important for grandparents to focus on the relationship with the grandchildren. Often this might require them to park their emotions, and often, you know, I mean, you can imagine there's lots of issues that can arise between relationship breakdowns and, you know, a lot of raw emotions
very
going
much
around.
A lot of hurt.
And I guess when you're the oldest member of the family, and let's face it, lots of us are moving into that category more and more these days with our own parents dying or, well, basically they're just dying, nowhere else for them to go. Then sorry. I know,
that's
I only true. Became...
Let's be raw.
It's a big deal. You know, I became an orphan last year after being a child of a single parent family from 1966 through to 2024. So it's present in my mind that I've moved into this new role as the oldest of the generations, even though luckily I've got a sister who's 8 years older than me.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we can all defer to her. But the key really is communication, keeping lines of communication open and working with the parents of your grandkids, even if you're not necessarily in contact as often with daughters or son-in-laws that may have moved away from the relationship. But everybody should be on the same page to think about the children and to make sure that the children feel loved and secure.
You're really saying we have to be the example. We have to take the lead in this, aren't you?
I definitely think that's right, Lynn. Mm. Communication with parents, your children or your children-in-law is essential.
Yeah.
Although it's really important that these conversations don't happen in front of the children, and that's really key. And a hard thing to do, I mean, like I was saying before, these emotions are raw. Sometimes it's very hard to navigate around them, but we do have to be the big people in the room, the grown-ups. Yeah. And lead by example and give people the benefit of the doubt so that we can all work together to provide a loving and secure environment for our grandchildren.
It's interesting when you're talking about the role that we have as grandparents. I also have lots of conversations with clients who've gone through the separation and divorce situation, and they actually really miss their in-laws. And they still want to have the relationship with them. These are couples that have separated and, you know, they've lost that connection with the mother of their ex-partner. That's really interesting. And they want to keep that relationship going. Not always. But when it comes up with comments like, you know, his parents never contact us or ask us how we are, or we were in their lives for such a long time and now we are treated like we just don't exist, or I wasn't even invited to the funeral and when I was the one that was made sure that the kids visited so often. So there's those sorts of hurts that I think we as grandparents also need to acknowledge the parent of the separated couple.
That's so tricky though, isn't it?
Because it's really tricky.
Often you know, I mean, I've had some experiences with partners of my children that were like family members and then after they broke up, I felt that. I felt like I would like to be in contact with those people, but out of respect to my own child, you know, I just had to let it go. I think it is tricky. It's also a bit easier if your children don't have any children.
Yeah.
But I think once there are grandchildren around, you can't fail to still have some sort of ongoing connection to your son or daughter-in-law that may be no longer part of the family.
And it opens up that we are in new territory.
Oh.
You know, this is new territory where we don't actually know what the rules of engagement are. So I guess what I would like to get out of this conversation is to establish our roles as grandparents and really leaders in the communication of this.
Yes, well, I think as always, we just have to be very, very careful about giving our opinions.
Okay.
I think
I'll hold back. I'll try really
change.
Hard.
Yeah, good, Lynn. I know that's a tricky one for you. But I think a big upheaval in a family, it leaves people open to being very sensitive about what you say. So that is the time to keep your opinions to yourself. Accept that the new family formation, as it changes and extends, takes time to settle, and there'll be a role adjustment for everyone involved in the family. Grandparenting is a great reality check, as we all know. Any time you spend with children is a reality check, and grounds you, really. And it's important to remember that what you can offer in terms of time and emotional support will give back over time. That the relationship that you build with them now is something that they're going to remember. Here we go, Lynn. Here's your moment to shine. You can talk about your 100-year or your 200-year theory.
Well, yeah, because really we have got the opportunity to keep that link in with 200 years that we hold in our hands with the oldest people that we know and the youngest person that we actually have.
And I'm actually beginning to come round to this theory of Lynn's, because every person that we talk to on this podcast, they all are talking about their relationship with their own grandparents. And these might be people that they haven't seen for years and years and years, but they have such strong memories of that relationship and the sort of things they did with their grandparents when they were little kids. So obviously, grandparenting is a serious business, and that's why we have decided to talk about it.
So we've done why and what. So how are grandparents going to plot a route through this unique challenge that is presented by having blended families? What are the rules of engagement?
Well, I think the same rules apply. It's all about connections. It's about having open and honest conversations with your children, your stepchildren, and ex-partners, finding and celebrating the common ground.
But what if it's incredibly difficult and everyone is tiptoeing around each other? And, you know, when there's separation, there's incredible hurt, and often the parents-in-laws get dragged in with the legal battle and the fallout of custody and the financial battles. I'm actually a little bit more pragmatic about this. If the goal is to have connection and relationship with the children, that is the goal. Maybe you could be hurt because of what your in-law did or didn't do, and you might have an allegiance with your son or your daughter, but the bottom line is that you need to decide whether you want to stay in the picture with your grandchildren and be involved or not. But it's up to you. The grandparent is to take the initiative. We are the ones that take the lead in this process. After all, we've got more relationship experience due to our ages, and we've got more to lose by not having the relationship. We're supposed to hold the wisdom of life here.
I know, it sounds like, so grown up, doesn't it? I'm not really ready for this. So I think there are some rules of engagement for grandparents that we should really consider.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll go through those now. What do you think, Lynn?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. We can unpack one at a time.
Okay. So rule number one, never put down either parent in front of the child. Do not entertain any whispering or discussion about the parent's situation in any way. Your relationship is with the grandchild, and that's what we really need to be focusing on, is that relationship.
Keep it that way. It's really awesome to be able to just go, okay, my focus is on this child. What is this child interested in? How can I talk to them about what they're doing? And not really having to entertain, oh, your father did that. Oh, is that what you do?
Yes, no fishing for information.
No fishing.
Very bad idea.
So rule number two, which leads us into, is no ghosting.
What do you mean by ghosting?
This is a phrase that's gained popularity with the emergence of online dating. But it's used to refer to many different situations. It's often the response of the avoidance of difficult conversations.
When people break up, they just break up by text message these days. Is that what you're talking about?
No. It's more like they'll regularly bail out on plans to get together, or struggle to make commitments, or say they're going to be there but know that the other person's there, so they'll just pull out.
And what would you do about that? Would you try and have a full and frank conversation with them? How would you deal with being ghosted?
Well, I guess I'm saying here that the grandparents shouldn't be doing the ghosting.
Okay, all right.
But if the in-law is doing the ghosting, it might be a case of like, are you okay? It's okay, you know, it'd be really good to see you. But it's really important that we don't do the ghosting. Just because they might do it, we don't do it back. Sometimes it's about not sharing any personal information or avoiding meeting up with other members of the family. Like a simple ghosting one would be, we'll invite that family, but it won't be with the other families.
It is so tricky, though. You know, I know even with my family, and we have a limited number of blended families within my overarching family, but over the years, we're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we do tend to have gatherings of this bit of the family and that bit of the family, getting everyone together. Though I'll have to tell you, Lee and Lynn, I had my family dinner last night.
Did it go well?
Yeah, no, it went really well, and I actually had some special guests, a niece and nephew from one of my brother's family and a nephew and his daughter from another. So it was really, really lovely. But I think just that your average family is developing so many complexities these days that it is very difficult to work your way through it and continue to make everybody feel included and supported.
Yeah, but I think as another level in this is that when there is separation and divorce or a step family involved or some awkwardness around a separation, what happens is that the children, they've gone through the whole separation themselves and they are very familiar with the effects of ghosting. They're very familiar when they know that they're left out because. And as they tell their story later on, it might be that, yeah, we were sort of invited, but we weren't always invited when everyone else was there. So you don't want to have that being said. So it's really important that we don't do the ghosting.
So here are a couple of tips about how to avoid ghosting. Admit that you are hurt. I mean, it's always better to be open, isn't it, in a conversation with a relative, whether they're close or estranged. Set up a platform that allows you to talk positively about either parent. And as we said before, you never talk about relationships or adult matters in front of the children. You need to really focus on making the grandchildren secure. And you need to remember that your grandchildren loves both their parents. Be neutral and respectful. If you are making cookies, make a batch for both parents. If a birthday is coming up, remember their mum's and dad's birthdays and give them a call or text. Try and be as inclusive as you possibly can. Remember them in the Christmas list. This creates an openness for your grandchild and demonstrates forgiveness.
And recovery. I actually think recovery is one of the main things that kids need to learn in relationships. Recovery from hurts, recovery from breaking down of relationships, just having small fights and then recovering. And so this is a really helpful thing for us in our wise role of showing recovery. Rule number three, grandparents have to take the initiative. Reach out first and create an environment where the kids can feel safe with you as well as the ex-daughter or son-in-law.
What about the issue of competing grandparents? I mean, that's quite a big one, isn't it, where different grandparents, even without the blended family, that can really become a problem when the number of grandparents is multiplied by repartnering of both parents and grandparents, and you are not the favourite.
And sometimes they can have four sets of grandparents in all of that, maybe even more so, and you don't want to be the other nana, do you?
No, well, I know even with my own parents-in-law, my son-in-law's parents, they have a different relationship and role. I live in the house with my grandkids, and so I have a much more day-to-day role, and they have a bit more of a holiday role, and it's taken us a while to happily slot into where we fit into the whole broader family dynamic. But I think that just takes time and patience and always remembering it's about the children.
Do you know, there's really room in this to make sure that we have a connection with the other grandparents as well. So when you talk about
that... Well, that's great for you and I because we love making connections with people.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, just think about it too, because oftentimes when you don't see the other person, they're in the background, you minimise their effect. Whereas I think if you know somebody, you'll bring them into the conversation. And so I think that's really helpful to get to know the other grandparents and to always hold them up in a good light.
I agree. And I think too, when families experience, you know, more difficult times, that's really where the relationship between the other grandparents, grandparent to grandparent, let's face it, we're the ones carrying the wisdom, is so, so important that you can have a conversation with them. And I've had occasions where I've rung my son-in-law's mother and said, we're sinking over here, can you give us a bit of a hand?
That's awesome.
And it's been so fantastic to have that backup from her and her husband.
That comes up to situations too when there's, and I know of couples where there has been issues with alcohol and the children are not allowed to see the other parent because of some difficulties.
Oh,
and so their custody is with the grandparents. And then that becomes difficult as well. And so one of the really good things in that whole process is when the two sets of grandparents connect and really just, we're here for the kids. We're really going to be building this together in terms of building their lives and making it good for them. We're not judging, we're not taking sides, but we're actually all on these kids' team. It's all about having a positive mindset. How do we want our grandkids to see us? Always try and be a positive role model. You can behave in a way that will make your grandkids proud of you or maybe just comfortable with you. Remember that your values are on display, and remember it's about what you do with the time you have and not how much time you or how often you see them. Children need to know that they are loved, and they also need to know that you have got their back and that you care for them. Again, we have to put our big girl or boy pants on. We have to take the lead. Restrictions on access and time spent with grandchildren is really tough and it's tricky. But the key is to make the most of the time you have.
Lynn, before we finish off with some practical tips for grandparenting in blended families, can we talk about the difference between a young child's needs in a blended family and a teenager's needs? What are the ways that grandparents can have some meaningful impact with these different age groups?
So in early childhood, attachment is the big thing, and separation anxiety from the main caregiver is also the big thing. So when there's separation, the kids are trying to navigate where their attachment figure is, and oftentimes they have to adjust. It might take 2 or 3 days before they adjust with the other parent. So the main thing for us is not to push in and go, oh, it's my turn. Yes. The main thing is just to be tender and know that you're dealing with a tender set of emotions with early childhood. In adolescence, that attachment process comes across as detachment, but it's actually an attachment cry.
What does that mean?
So attachment process is where they're trying to negotiate and navigate whether we're in sync. Now, adolescents are often out of sync because their bodies are developing at the similar rate. And
it's a tough time, isn't it?
And their brains are not developing at the same time. And so there's a whole lot of stuff going on. And they don't feel like cuddling and being attached. So they demonstrate their attachment by being attached and aloof.
By being detached and aloof.
Yes, by being detached and aloof. And so what that comes across as for them is that they feel abandoned. Now, it's a bit weird because they're the ones that have become detached, but they code it in their brains as being, I'm abandoned. And so they have this sort of sour grapes. So you coming in as a grandparent, you hopefully have not taken sides. And so that's helpful for them to attach to you. It's helpful for you to respond to them in the opposite to how they make you feel. Because if you've got a teenager who just grumps and grunts and doesn't actually engage with you in any eye contact.
Yes, it's very hard not to take it personally, isn't it?
It's really hard to think, oh, well, that's something wrong with them, and they've all really suffered, and look how bad it is.
And I think my memory of my children going through those phases, that their grandparents really struggled with that.
Yeah.
They found that a really difficult one to navigate.
Okay, so that's talking about children who haven't gone through separation.
Yes.
So add that extra layer where they're feeling like their attachment has been messed with, it's really important that we respond to them in the opposite way to how we feel like responding to them. So that might mean...
Good. I wondered whether we were going to find out what that looked like.
That might mean that we spend more time linking in and engaging with them. It might be with adolescents to find out what their YouTube clips.
Well, there we go. This comes back into our Tech Savvy Grandparenting podcast that we did a few weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, find out what their interests are and try and hook into their
interests. And if it means you start playing some of their games, you start playing their games, or you take an interest in it. You say, I tried to play that game. I didn't quite know how to do it. Do you want to show me? So there is that sense of they can engage with you in some other way.
Before we wrap up, though, I just wanted to talk about significant holidays or significant birthdays or events. You know, this is often a really big deal for a blended family. You know, where do the kids go for Christmas? How do we overcome the disappointment of not having the family all together at Christmas time? So what would you suggest if you're the grandparent that misses out on a big family event? it's difficult enough trying to decide which way you jump in a family situation for Christmas, Easter, birthdays. Once you expand the family in a blended way, that just adds so many more complexities.
Oh, it certainly does. Part of the difficulty is that we all have routines and a little like traditional things that we don't realise that we do until it gets messed up. So Christmas has its little routine. You know, we always open our stockings at this time, and we always have our present sharing around the tree after lunch, or we, you know, we have all of those things. And then you've got the child who's only there for half the day, or he's picked up at McDonald's at 12 o'clock, which is when the meal gets served. So it really messes things up. So how do we deal with it?
Well, maybe we have to start thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
And set up our own separate celebrations at another time. Don't get too hung up on a date, and just find a time where you can set up your own little set of traditions that everybody knows just happens in this space.
It's a really good lesson for us, though, to actually start looking at traditions for tradition's sake versus traditions for a meaning and a purpose.
Yes.
So if we have traditions for tradition's sake, oftentimes that's because we're going, oh, but we always do this at this time. Well, there's no real why for that.
So we should be reassessing our traditions at all times, do you think?
Particularly, yeah. And maybe going, well, why do we do it? We do it because we care, and we do it, we want to actually connect with our grandkids. So let's change it to this time of the day because we really want them all to be there for that. Yep, we might all have to get up early and open our stockings instead of waiting till after this event that we do. But if you haven't got the children with you for that year, and it's not your turn to have the children for you at Christmas time that year, it's actually helpful to start doing some other things, things that would make them feel like, yeah, you're still thinking of them.
So to wrap up this really important conversation for so many, let's rip through some practical tips for grandparenting in blended families.
Create special moments for time with your grandchildren. If they're not able to attend the big celebrations like Christmas, make an alternative time to get together and develop your own set of traditions with them.
Write a personal note or letter to the children on a regular basis. Yeah. I always try and send my kids postcards when I go away.
That's
a really
cool.
Great one.
So find some common ground and develop a shared interest.
Organise a storytelling night.
Oh, they're always good with the old slides. Just be yourself and take an interest in the grandchildren.
Don't force a connection. Give the children time and space to develop the relationship on their own terms.
Make all the grandchildren feel equally valued.
Link into their way of communicating, even though it could be difficult, but you can do it. Befriend the grandchildren, like them, and set up a WhatsApp group that keeps them in the look for the wider family network.
Become the information booth for all the kids in the family. When they talk to you, you keep them up to date with the successes and the strengths of each of the kids and their beautiful natures. Help others to lean into them.
Keep the photos of the grandchildren, display them all.
Oh, I'm a
That's
big
a
one for
one.
That. Make sure they're all out and make sure no one's missing, because even my two-year-old goes through and counts how many of him is there and the others have got a bit more.
Yes, yeah, so that's a really important one. And as we spoke about before too, you're even able to sit down with your phone and look them up and sit there and flip through photos that you've taken with them over the years. Thanks for listening. We're always up for your comments, questions, wisdom, because there's an awful lot of wisdom out there in our great audience. Send us a sound file. Be part of the Modern Grandparenting podcast. Send us some kids' jokes for our opener.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
And our great thanks to the sponsor of this terrific podcast, The Resilience Centre. Head to www.theresiliencecentre.com.au. Get in touch with us through our website. We're at moderngrandparenting.com.au. I'm Lee Hatcher. Catch you next time.